Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Today's podcast is brought to you by RE, Religious Exploration. Join our team of volunteers who help our children and youth in their religious exploration. For more information, reach out to today's podcast guest. Our guest today is Garrett House. Garrett leads the Religious Exploration Program and activities for UUSM youth and kids. Garrett is currently a graduate student in the Master of Divinity program at the Pacific School of Religion and at UC Berkeley. His study focus is social justice, systemic equity, and spiritual care. Garrett is a Peninsula native and has served progressive families for more than 15 years in multiple roles, including on the Congregational Church of Belmont's Board of Education. His love for teaching started when he was 15 as a camp counselor and life-saving instructor for the Boy Scouts of America. Garrett has a strong background in teaching voice and classical theater. He's the proud father of two daughters and will soon become a grandfather. Garrett, welcome to the Connections Podcast.
Thanks, Jack. I'm glad to be here.
Sure, I'm happy to have you. I'm so glad we're finally getting to talk during more or less your first full week on the job so that people can get to know you better. I know that you're a Peninsula native because I read that in your bio, but in what city or cities did you grow up?
Well, thanks for asking. I grew up in Redwood City. I was in the foster care system, and I grew up right by the railroad tracks on Alden Street near Arguello.
Okay. And was that most of your childhood there?
I grew up there and I went to Edison Elementary in the ABC streets over there. And then when I was 10, I moved over onto Selby Lane area and I went to Selby Lane Elementary.
But still in that same city?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. When you were a kid, what were your favorite things to do with your time?
I was very blessed in that we didn't have technology when I was a kid. So we did things that kids do in those days, like the creek was high in Redwood City and we used to go down to the creek and we used to tie a rope on one of those big eucalyptus trees and swing across the creek. It was probably about 3 or 4 feet of water in the creek back in those days.
Ooh.
And we used to spend our time collecting pollywogs and frogs.
Okay. What did you like about school and what challenged you there?
What I loved most about school, when I was at Selby Lane Elementary, I had a teacher named Dr. Alan Baldwin, and he taught the inquiry class. And he was my favorite teacher because he really pushed us to question and to try to figure out the right question for how we would proceed in examining something or learning about something. He took us to Death Valley on a 2-week trip, and he also led the Mentally Gifted Minor Program, which I was fortunate enough to be in at that time.
Interesting. Did you grow up in a church or with a set of religious beliefs?
My mom is no longer with us, but she was a Catholic, and she started raising me as a Catholic, and I went to catechism. Catholicism really didn't take with me. I was kind of scared of the whole process, of the whole, how shall I say, patriarchal, punitive caste system that within that religion. I left Catholicism and explored many different religions on my path and, you know, really found more of a spiritual path than a religious path.
Interesting. Tell our listeners about your family, whatever that word means to you.
My family is my two daughters. To me, that's to start out with the nucleus. I'm a dad, and my youngest daughter is 18. She is a wonderful artist, a vocalist. She's studying, she's looking to go into social justice, law. Mm. My oldest daughter is 35 now.
Wow.
She is an executive at Netflix, and she works in the entertainment industry.
Nice.
So that's my family. My parents, I lost them when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very close with my kids.
Right. And tell me about this grandbaby.
Grandbaby's coming in about a month and a half.
Wow.
Projected.
Yes.
Grandbaby. We don't know the sex of the grandbaby. I don't know if the baby is going to be a boy or a girl, but we're super excited. And yes, I will have earned the title Grandpa. So
it's a good one.
It's new. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I know that you've been involved in the Congregational Church for more than 15 years. What first took you to that church?
Interesting story. I had a friend who was a geophysicist. So he was a scientist that was a very close friend of mine that I spent a lot of time with. And he said to me, I know you don't really go in for church. That's not your thing. But there's this church up the street on the hill in Belmont that I go to. And there's this very interesting minister there, Irish lady named Christy Denham. And, you know, I think you should come with me. Just try it out, because it's really more about community, it's about fellowship, and they're about social justice and social activism, so you might find it interesting. I went to the church, and I sat in the back, and I didn't want to be called out, or I just wanted to be left alone and just kind of check it out, and I checked it out, and then I said, well, I'll come back. I started going pretty much every week, and my daughter was about 2.
Mm.
And she was having a good time there. After years go by, I declined being a member there. I didn't want to be involved in a church. But slowly and surely, I started getting involved in their projects. And I really loved their projects and their outreach stuff that they were doing for the community. I ended up staying and ended up getting involved and being involved in their education program. I really love working with kids, so I just stuck around.
Cool. You did a lot of things there. You served in a lot of different capacities.
I did. I was on the board of trustees. I did serve as the vice moderator. As the moderator, I've served over 10 years on the Board of Education, sang in the choir, buildings and grounds, but still pick up my hammer and go and fix things. You know, I would do that. It's all about whatever we can do.
Right. The facilities team will welcome your hand and hammer.
I shouldn't have said that.
That's right. Darn. And then you decided to go to the Pacific School of Religion as a grad student, the Master of Divinity program. Tell our listeners about that decision.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of great work with regard to mental health. And mental health as it relates to youth and particularly marginalized youth, whether they be people of color or whether they be members of the LGBTQA plus community, there's a lot of social justice work going on in Berkeley, right? Go figure. So that's happening at UC Berkeley and at PSR, the Pacific School of Religion. It's really a lens of theology that is a lens framing of social justice. And it's quite inclusive. And I was really impressed with the educators there, the teachers that they brought in from outside. And so I wanted to pursue that because I'm interested in social activism.
So what made you decide to apply for this job as the DRE at UU San Mateo?
Good question. I spend a lot of time trying to interact with organizations such as the NAACP and the San Mateo Pride Group. And I noticed that one of the organizations that was very active in those organizations was the UU. And the UU was getting awards alongside some other organizations, other churches that I'm affiliated with, I really wanted to apply for the job at UU because I want to work with kids and I want to make a difference with kids. And the UU philosophy is more aligned with my personal belief rather than Methodist or Congregational or some of those other organizations.
Great. And did you know what you were getting into when you applied?
No, I really didn't know what I was getting into, but I really like to believe that we walk in our most authentic way and we present our most authentic self and we try to serve, and the opportunities that come up may be ones that we don't know or we can't recognize what the future brings, but we need to step into them fully and try to experience why they were brought before us.
Right. I know you've barely had time to catch your breath since you started, but can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you have in the very early planning stages to make UUSM a place where children drag their parents to Sunday service?
Yes, very important. So I have been at all of one Sunday so far.
So I assume you have it all solved.
I have it all figured out. Yesterday, I was sitting down and looking at arranging a meeting with the parents. I want to sit down with all the parents, and I want to frame our program from a perspective of design consciousness. And I want to use design theory and use our youth in the role of the client. And I want to design a program that is based on what gives them energy and based on what excites them. That's one thing that I noticed when I did sit down with some of the older youth and I said, why do you come here? They said, because this is my parents' religion and they dragged me here. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, what's the reason that we're here? What do you like to do? So I started getting a feel for what these kids want to do, some kind of interactive program. Mm-hmm. But it really has to come from them. I'm still working it out, but I know that design consciousness and design theory is going to be a big part of it.
Great.
That was a hard one.
Oh, man, I should have stepped it up and given you a lot more hard ones to deal with. I mean, it's funny to interview you so early in this process because there are a lot of things I kind of want to know about what you're thinking, but you just haven't had a chance to really get into all of it yet, you know, as you will. I know that we may want to do another podcast down the road.
I think so. It's a hard question to answer at this point. I have a lot of resource material that's been sent to me.
You do.
From a number of sources that I'm trying to go through, and I'm trying to figure out where we're going.
Right.
And it doesn't happen in a week.
No. No. All right, we're going to wrap this up with some quick hitters. I'll ask you a quick question, and you can give me any length of answer that you want.
Okay.
What's the best sandwich?
A perfectly cooked grilled cheese.
Oh. Now, do you have an idea about how perfectly cooked happens?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfectly cooked happens if you butter both sides of the fresh bread.
Absolutely.
And you make sure that the pan is already preheated to the correct temperature.
Okay.
And then you just enough to brown the outside where the cheese is melted, and you have a nice brown crispy outside and a nice soft melted inside.
Are the ingredients just cheese, butter, and bread?
Yes, and the butter police will arrest you if they see how much butter that you put on it.
Yeah.
So, yes.
But you don't eat a grilled cheese to satisfy the butter police.
No. So it's just a classic. Bread, butter, and cheese.
Anything that you like to have with it? like the classic tomato soup.
Tomato soup is the best with it, with a little fresh basil.
Mm, okay, all right. What would a perfect day be like for you?
I had a perfect day once. And it was when my daughter Kendall and I took a road trip to Southern California. And I think having her trapped in the car was part of it, I think, as a teenager.
Yes.
Because we got the chance to spend time together. We talked. She couldn't escape.
Right.
And we did fun things like going to the beach down there and going to Universal Studios and just not having a care in the world, you know, ordering room service, just being completely away from school and away from work and spending quality time together. That's my perfect day.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah, it is so much easier somehow, and I know they've done studies on this with teenagers, to talk to them when you're both facing the same direction rather than when you're looking at each other. That car thing is perfect for those conversations.
So. Yeah, it was really great.
If you could wake up tomorrow with one particular talent or ability that you don't now have, what would that be?
It would be the ability to heal the sick. I don't have that ability.
No?
No. And it's doubtful that I will have that ability. But if I could have one ability, I would want people to be, that are sick, to be whole.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What is the most used app on your phone?
It has to be my Google Mail app. I'm in there all the time. I have 3 different emails on there, so I'm constantly in there, probably every 15 minutes, unfortunately.
Okay. What's the best advice you ever got?
The best advice came from a gentleman named Donald Hamilton, who was the editor of Micro Times magazine. I used to work for him. We were going to this big meeting, and I said, "Don, I'm not sure. I'm a new director here. I'm not sure I know what I'm doing." And he said, "Don't worry about it, Garrett. None of us know what we're doing." He said, "As a matter of fact, we're all geniuses until we open our mouths and prove otherwise." So just don't say anything at the meeting.
Yeah, that's not bad advice.
So I thought that was the best advice I got.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading My Grandmother's Hands by Rethma Menakem. It traces the generational trauma.
Right.
And exercises to work through generational trauma. Very interesting.
I bet. What is the best movie?
The best movie for me, it has to be Good Will Hunting, because it's a genius script by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And it has Robin Williams in it, who is one of my favorite actors of all time. I connect with Will as a character because he comes from a very basic background. And he wants to broaden his horizons and educate himself. I really like the story because Will is also a character who was abused as a young man, like myself, and he learns how to love. It's a beautiful story of letting people in and learning how to love, even though we're damaged, all of us.
A related question, what's the best movie snack?
Popcorn. Nothing can beat popcorn.
Straight up?
Straight up popcorn. Butter? Butter, yes. Real
yes.
butter.
Real butter.
Real butter, yeah. Yes.
All right. So you get regularly visited from the Butter Police, do you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
I do, but I don't answer the door.
No, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Never. What keeps you up at night?
The state of our country keeps me up at night. The fact that we lost our ability to be Americans, I feel. Just citizens that have more in common than our differences, and we forgot that. I think that there are so many good people in the United States that are at odds with each other because of the media, because of technology. I think there's a lot of hatred that is misdirected. It keeps me up at night that we're not working together, and that we're not only working together as human beings, but that we're not the best stewards of our planet. Mm. It keeps me up at night that we're really not doing a good job taking care of our environment. And what are we going to leave for our children? So I worry about that stuff. Yeah. Especially when I watch the news before I go to bed. Mm. Which is not a good thing to do.
But you think the media and technology are the two things that we have to blame for?
I wouldn't say blame. I think the framing of us versus them is the problem. Okay. Because we're the same human race. And whether we draw a line on the ground and we say, this is my dirt and that's your dirt, we're still the same human race.
What's the best musical instrument?
Piano.
Piano. Do you play the piano?
Yes.
Okay. Me too. What's the best smell?
I'm going to say, for me, fresh ground coffee.
Fresh ground coffee. Now, is that brewed coffee, or are you just smelling the coffee beans themselves, or the coffee grinds themselves?
I'm just smelling the coffee before it's brewed.
Okay.
Just sticking my nose in the bag of coffee, basically, and smelling it.
That's pretty good. We lived for nearly 20 years right behind a Maxwell House factory. We woke up every single morning to the smell of coffee. And it was really, and then we were just a few blocks from a bread bakery. And so we could have like coffee and fresh bread aroma.
Wow.
Every morning. So it's a great combo there. Yeah. It was fun. What's the best religion?
There is none. There are no best religions. I think that most people today are really turned off by the word, actually, religion, and mm-hmm. they're just looking for peace in their own spirituality. They've been given a number of bad examples in the religious arena. It scares them away. I have been sponsoring a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous that we rented a space to recently. And I went down there and I said, you know, there's a service going on upstairs in the church. You're all welcome if anybody wants to come. And I found it interesting. Nobody was interested in going. The reason they gave me was because they said, we're very spiritual and we cannot have this journey to sobriety without being spiritual, but we're not religious and we're not interested in church.
Right.
So I thought that was something to take note of.
Right. Right. Very interesting. Well, Garrett, thanks so much for sitting down with me, especially during this first very busy week for you. I appreciate you taking the time. I have gotten to know you better, and I know our listeners have too. So thank you for doing this.
I'm really happy to be here, and I'm super excited about the stuff that we're going to do together here at UU. So thank you, and thanks for challenging me today. It was a challenge, I must say, but really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you, Jack. Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.